The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
That means it's time for our monthly, well, sort of science diction, as we call it. We're exploring the origins of scientific words with Howard Markel, professor of the history of medicine at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, also director of the Center for the History of Medicine there. Welcome back to Science Friday, Howard.
Hi, Ira. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day to you. Have you got a, what's the word, the good word for today?
Well, the good word today is robot.
Robot.
Yeah.
Robot. What is the origin of the word robot? Interesting.
Well, you know, we all think of these mechanical beings, you know, clad in metal and blinking lights and making all sorts of funny sounds. And even some people think about modern robots, which help in modern engineering or even the conduct of surgery. But it's really a new word to the English language. It was the brainchild of a wonderful Czech playwright, novelist, and journalist named Karel Čapek. He lived from 1880 to 1938, and he introduced it in 1920 in his hit play R.U.R., or Rossum's Universal Robots.
Does it have a Latin origin, or just he just made it up out of thin air?
Well, it comes from an old church Slavonic word, robata, which means servitude or forced labor. The word also has cognates in German, Russian, Polish, and Czech, and it's really a product of the Central European system of serfdom, where a tenant's rent was paid for in forced labor or service. And he was writing this play about a company, Rossum's Universal Robots, that was actually using biotechnology. They were mass-producing workers using the latest biology, chemistry, and physiology to produce workers who lack nothing but a soul. They couldn't love, they couldn't have feelings, but they could do all the works that humans preferred not to do. And, of course, the company was soon inundated with all orders. Well, when Čapek named these creatures, he first came up with a Latin word, labori, for labor. But he worried that this sounded a little bit too bookish. And at the suggestion of his brother, Joseph, Čapek ultimately opted for roboti, or in English, robots.
Wow. And so he needed this for the play.
Yeah, and, you know, the robots, it's really a wonderful play. The robots do so well, they really kind of take over the earth. I mean, they take over the army, they take over all the work. Even human women can no longer reproduce because they've forgotten how. And so the robots, after a while, say, hey, enough of this. We're going to take over the world. We're doing all the work. So it's sort of an allegory for a mass revolt of the workers unite. And things get really bad, and all but one human being is killed in this play.
Wow.
The robots realize, oh no, we've killed everybody who knows how to make robots, so they've actually guaranteed their extinction. And then there's this magical moment where two robots, a male and a female robot, suddenly develop the ability to feel, to love, and have human emotions, and they go off into the sunset to make the world anew.
Well, I can see the sun dawning already.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So it actually had a negative term in the play to begin with, and then sort of got redeemed toward the end.
Yeah, and you know, Čapek was a very interesting man, an interesting journalist and philosopher. He was a Democrat with a little d. He believed in democracy, and you know, when he wrote this in 1920, there was the Soviet Union had started recently with communism, and there was also the World War I that had many people blamed on capitalism. And
but wasn't he also on Hitler's most wanted list?
He was indeed, and he was a very active opponent of Hitler and wrote about it, and he was enemy number two on the Gestapo list, and he died in 1938 at the age of 48 of flu, just a few moments before the Gestapo had caught up with him. So he frustrated Hitler
his
sentence.
Well, this is fascinating. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
And Howard, we'll look forward to your next word. I know you'll be thinking about it with great robotic detail.
I hope so.
All right. Thank you, Howard. Howard Markel is professor of the history of medicine at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and director of the Center for the History of Medicine there. We've run out of time for this hour. Greg Smith composed our theme music. We had help today from NPR librarian Kima Leske. Go over to our website at sciencefriday.com. We have another video pick of the week up there. It's a whole film festival of science in space and video in space. Also, we want to remind you that this is a worldwide pinhole camera day. Sunday, it is Sunday. Besides being Easter, and wish you all a happy Easter, it's worldwide pinhole camera day. You can find it on our website at sciencefriday.com. We have a blog up there, and maybe you'll send us some of your pinhole cameras. Well, not the cameras themselves, but the pictures you take with them. In fact, they still do make film and pinhole cameras yourself. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.